This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge and protection in Allah from the evil of our intentions and our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant, his slave, and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not except in a state of submission and surrender to your Lord as Muslims. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, fear him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of the Almighty Allah. And the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. After the conquest of Mecca in the year 8 after Hijrah, the tribes, the Arab tribes in the Arabian Peninsula, majority of them decided that the message of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the truth from their Creator, from Allah. And they started flooding into Islam, accepting the way of life of all the prophets and the messengers, submission to Almighty Allah, obedience to His command, seeking His face alone. The tribes were considered to be at the same time political entities. So they sent delegations. They sent representatives from amongst themselves to go and speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give him the bay'ah, the covenant of obedience, their formal acceptance of Islam as a tribe, to live by Islam. And this was named in the history of Islam, Bi'am al-Wufud, the year 9 of Hijrah, the year of delegations. Because the different tribes were sending representatives and ambassadors to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and give the bay'ah and connect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an administrative sense, meaning that they would answer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a central authority. And one of the tribes, Banu Abd Qais, they approach Medina among other tribes, and as soon as their representatives or the delegation reaches Medina, they rush to the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to go and meet with him for the first time, give him the bay'ah, and talk to him about their tribe and about what this kind of bay'ah entails. But among this tribe, Banu Abd Qais, there was one of their leaders who did not go straight to the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead, he took to the side of Medina. He washed himself and he put on new fresh clothes. Then he catches up with his group in the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So as they were talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam recognizes this special behavior from this man, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appreciates that, and he says to him, "Inna fika khaslatayn yuhibbuhum Allah." You have two traits. You displayed two traits that Allah loves. Al-hilm wal-ana. Forbearance, this easygoing nature, you're not in rush, you're not a hasty person. Al-hilm wal-ana. Ana is patience as well. You're not pushy, you're not in a state of haste, you're balanced. You have this beautiful, balanced, easygoing demeanor about yourself. You take your time with things rightfully. So the man said, "O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, أَخَصْلَتَيْنِ جَبَلَنِ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا أَمْ اِكْتَسَبْتُهُمَا قَالَ بَلْ جَبَلَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمَا." He said, "O Messenger of Allah, these two traits that you noticed in me, are they built in me in the sense that Allah wired me in that way, created me in that way, or is it something that I have conditioned myself or I have learnt?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Allah has built them in you as natural traits, natural personal temperament." So he said, "Alhamdulillah, الذي جبلني على خصلتين يحبهم الله ورسوله." All praise is due to Allah that Allah created me in a way that Allah gave me two traits that He, Allah, admires and His Prophet ﷺ admires. These are the two traits. So the Prophet ﷺ expressed his admiration. And he highlighted that these are two traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Al-hilm wal-ana. Hilm is forbearance, which is a form of patience. When a person is halim, and al-halim is one of the names of Allah. So Allah loves these traits because Allah possesses them himself. Because they are positive. They are inherently good traits. Al-Hilm, Allah is Al-Halim. Al-Hilm is someone who is able to be patient and composed. They're not obnoxious. They don't act on impulse. They're not easily aggravated. They have so much inner space that they can take much of pressure, much of provocation, and yet stay composed and balanced. That's forbearance. It's inner strength. It's balance that is not easily disturbed, inner balance that is not easily disturbed by the givings of a situation. They don't get angry easily. They don't get intimidated easily. They don't fall in anxiety easily. It's this type of people, that's al-Halim. You might try to anger them, provoke them, and they won't respond in kind. They won't be provoked. It's very hard to disturb their balance. Wal-ana, the second one is patience. The opposite of being in rush. The opposite of haste. There are people who are very quick to react without calculation, without proper contemplation. But when someone has this patience, you know, they give things due thought before they act. They calculate and they measure to make, they try to weigh up the pros and the cons of what they do or what they are about to do. And they act with clarity. That's al-ana. And these two traits are found in an Arabic word that is called, or description or trait that is called al-rifq. Al-rifq. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ وَمَا كَانَ الرِّفْقُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَمَا نُزِعَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah is rafiq. One of the attributes of Allah is that He is rafiq. And rafiq is the one who possesses the two traits that we just described, al-hilm wal-ana. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي عَلَى الرِّفْقِ مَا لَا يُعْطِي عَلَى الْعُنْفِ. So Allah is rafiq and He loves rifq, He loves this trait. He loves this personal trait. And when Allah loves something, Allah rewards for it. When Allah loves something, it is good. When Allah loves something, it is positive and is extremely blessed and beneficial. So Allah is rafiq and He loves rifq. So Allah loves the people who have this trait about themselves. And Allah rewards and compensates for rifq more than He gives for its opposite. And anything that possesses rifq, that possesses this trait or this character, it would be beautified. It's a beautifying factor, and not in terms of aesthetics, not in a sense of cosmetics. But this is genuine beauty, meaning moral beauty. That means it's anything that has, or the things that have this kind of forbearance and this patience and this easygoing demeanor. Any issue or any behavior or any endeavor that possesses these traits or is conducted in this spirit is blessed. And Allah will reward for it. And Allah will give more for it in this life and in the next. And it would be beautiful. It would be moral and it would be good and it would be positive. And whenever this trait or this spirit is taken away from something, then this thing becomes ugly. It turns into ugliness. A despicable, abhorrible thing. So why this trait? What is so special in this trait? Actually, it's so important in Islam that Allah and that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to take it as the spirit with which we approach Islam itself. We approach Islam with this trait. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in another authentic hadith, "Inna hadha ad-din matin, fa'awghilu fihi birifq." That this religion of al-Islam, this way of life, this system of al-Islam is solid, profound, and deep. So approach it with rifq. The way you approach it, the way you practice it, the way you learn it, the way you engage in it should be based on the spirit of rifq. Again, we said forbearance and patience. You don't rush into things. You don't act on things based on a hasty spirit. You take your time. You let things grow naturally. إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ مَتِينَ فَأُغِلُوا فِيهِ بِرِفْقٍ. And it is here where the other statement came about, وَمَا كَانَ الرِّفْقُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَهُ وَمَا نُزِعَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَهُ. That when rifq is found in something, it beautifies it and gives it a positive charge. But when it's taken away from something, it leaves it ugly and negative. So this is how we are supposed to approach Islam. So let's look at this trait and its component. This rifq, which has the forbearance aspect and the patience aspect, how does this impact us? We should have this in all of our affairs. Why? Because first, it's a divine trait that Allah loves and Allah wants us to have. Allah wants us to develop. Some people possess that naturally. Some people have to work towards that. And the person will be rewarded. So what about these traits? Let's start with the first one. So rifq is divided into al-hilm. And hilm is forbearance, composure. Again, as we said, your inner balance is so stable and powerful that is not easily disturbed. So someone tries to intimidate you, you cannot be intimidated because you have so much richness inside, so much content and stability and strength inside that anything that comes from outside only affects the surface but doesn't disturb the deep waters of your being. So whether it's fear, whether it's a violation, or any kind of provocation, the person is able to keep composed, stay composed, and maintain their balance. What's the opposite of this? The opposite of this are people who keep swinging between different moods. You say, they hear a positive word, they feel elated, they are high, and they start daydreaming, and they indulge in their fancy dreams. They hear a negative word, they are ruined, completely devastated. What does that mean? They don't have any real substance within them. They're easily disturbed. They're easily provoked. Fear takes over them. Joy takes over them. Sadness overwhelms them. Pain throws them completely out of balance. Joy makes them transgress. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that this is actually a trait of humans that they need to work against. Allah says, for example, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى أَنْ رَآهُ اسْتَغْنَى. That humans, men, when they become rich, when they have the resources, they think that they are self-sufficient. They think that they can stand on their own. They think that they are better than others. They develop this huge ego about themselves. Just like Qarun, the rich person at the time of Musa alayhi salam from the people of the Pharaoh, when people advised him with regards to his wealth to use it wisely, to use it to support good means and good causes, what did he say? He said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ. I was given that because of my excellence, because of my expertise, because of my knowledge, because of my wisdom, because of my status. That's what I was given these. It's my excellence. So they take credit for that. That's what humans do. And this is why many of the scholars of Islam, they said, there are إِنَّ مِنَ الْعِبَادِ مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُهُ إِلَّا الْفَقْرِ. وَإِنَّ الْغِنَى لَيُفْسِدُهُ. That among the creation of Allah, there are people who cannot be set right, who cannot behave well except with poverty and lack. And if Allah were to give them wealth, they would be spoiled and they would go astray. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ لَا يُصْلِحُهُ إِلَّا الْغِنَى وَلَوْ أَفْقَرَهُ اللَّهُ لَفَسَدْ. And there are people who can only be set straight with what? Abundance and wealth. And if they were to experience poverty, they would lose their focus and their path, and they would go astray. Allah knows. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِّلُ بِقَدَرٍ مَّا يَشَاءُ إِنَّهُ بِعِبَادِهِ خَبِيرٌ بَصِيرٌ. Had Allah given rizq, provision to His creation without limit, without abundance, they would have transgressed. But Allah sends according to precise measure. Allah indeed is well aware of His servants, and He sees all of their affairs. So that's lack of forbearance, lack of composure, lack of balance. There's no hilm. A person is easily disturbed. They easily respond in very deep ways to a very simple external impulse or an external stimulus. That's their problem. A word can send them up or down, whereas a believer is balanced. They're not easily disturbed. Why? Because the heart is connected to Allah. And this is why Allah says also in the Quran, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Man, humans are created in this kind of swinging nature. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. That when good comes to them, abundance, wealth, they hold it, keep it to themselves, they act in miserly ways. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ مَنُوعًا. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. And when evil comes to them, when hardship comes to them, they are taken over by fear and anxiety. They're completely thrown out of balance. They are depressed by the external conditions. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Except for those who truly pray and observe the prayer. Why? Because they have Iman. Their ocean is deep and stable and connected to more than the immediate reality. That makes them halim, forbearant, someone who can handle life. So that's part of a rifq. That's part of a rifq. They don't have this greed about life. Temptations don't take over them. And discouragement does not break their spirit. That's the issue. They are balanced. They are balanced. They are not fully open to external circumstances to shape them. No. They have a set point of balance and positivity that cannot be disturbed by external circumstances. Why? Because they attend to a bigger, a wider spectrum of reality, because they are connected to the world of the unseen. They're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second trait, and by the way, human greed, human competition, human aggression, anger, violence comes from lack of hilm, from lack of forbearance. And that's what humans are doing. You know, the big corporations, the big businesses, the big sharks, the whales in any society, they always want more. They have billions and they can't get enough. They want more. Even if that means millions of people starve to death, they don't care about that. What's happening in the world is clear abuse. It's just a masked and camouflaged type of dominance and subjugation and slavery. But it's just done in more subtle ways, so it is more soft, so people don't realize it. But it's more pernicious and more evil and more destructive. Why is that? Because of lack of hilm. People are aggressive about their desires and the temptations and their personal goals. And the second one is what? Al-ana. Al-ana is that you are not in haste. You know that things take time. You don't rush into things. You're patient. You take your time with things. That's not inaction. But it's a balanced approach to things. shows that you are not, when temptation does not overtake you, you take your time to study it, to understand it, and to act with dignity. But when someone lacks this beautiful trait, what they do, a temptation will make them denigrate themselves, sacrifice their dignity, and put themselves down for the sake of what? A little benefit or gain. So this is why this companion, when he came, he didn't rush to the Prophet ﷺ. He thought, I would meet the Prophet ﷺ in an appropriate fashion. Traveling through the desert for days or weeks means the person really needs to clean themselves and put up some new clothes and be presentable, because you're talking to the Prophet ﷺ. That's wisdom. That's the good thing. Whereas the others didn't have the patience. They just rushed to the Prophet ﷺ to meet him, even though they were in a state that might not be ideal for that kind of meeting. And this is how all Muslims should behave in all of their affairs, religious matters and worldly matters, in the way we raise our kids, the way we do our work and our jobs and our business, the way we treat our families and our spouses, the way we deal with any situation, personal interactions, things like that. So you find some people are so quick to get angry without even understanding what the situation is. And they would act on their anger. Then they would regret it, act on impulse. Because these two traits are the opposite of impulse. Or you will find someone who would easily harm their child. Why? Just because they are not in the mood. Just because something angered them. It's lack of rifq. It's lack of rifq, because rifq comes from yourself, from your nafs, from your ego. Whereas forbearance and rifq comes from the heart. Comes from a pure heart. Even with religion, Allah doesn't want us to approach religion with our nafs, with our ego. We need to approach it with what? With the wisdom of the heart. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, approach this Islam with rifq. You'll find people rushing. And the scholars said, مَنْ رَامَ الْعِلْمَ جُمْلَةً ذَهَبَ عَنْهُ جُمْلَةً. That whoever wants to learn the knowledge of Islam, all at once, they would lose knowledge all at once. You would not learn. Things take time. The purification of your heart takes time. The development of yourself takes time. Developing better traits takes time. Removing your sins takes time. Everything takes time. You need to recognize this nature about this life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. So it's important for every Muslim to develop these two things. Don't react with so much, you know, strong feelings and imbalance to any situation. Be from those al-kadhimin al-ghayd, those who hold back their impulse. Study it, process it, and then act with wisdom. That's al-hilm. Second one, don't rush into things and don't haste and don't push things before their due time comes about. Because that would spoil them and destroy them. With everything, religious matters and worldly matters, relationships, personal affairs, your health as well, for example, your level of fitness, your business, everything has an appointed time. Your rush will not bring it about before its time. It might actually destroy it. And the scholars always say, مَنْ اسْتَعْجَلَ الشَّيْءَ قَبْلَ أَوَانِهِ ابْتُلِيَ بِحِرْمَانِهِ. Whoever rushes something before its due time, then they would be rewarded with losing it altogether. So have these two beautiful traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and rewards for. And they are again found in one word. One of the traits and attributes of Allah, the description of Allah, الرَّفِيق. Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ رَفِيقٌ يُحِبُّ الرِّفْقُ. Allah is Rafiq and He loves Rafiq. Be that type of person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our hearts, to purify our hearts and correct our actions. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina wa thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna 'ala al qawmi al kafirin. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik 'ala 'abdika wa rasulika Muhammad wa 'ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawm al-din. اللهم ارزقنا الرفق في الأمر كله يا ذا الجلال والإكرام وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.